prize, but my other team got the second prize. So before I would have kept quiet. So I just went to my manager and she said, I said, you know what? Blah, 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 blah. I'm not going to say it. That I got nominated. And she was, so I was like, I'm going to put that in my report, you know? And she went, yeah. Go ahead and do that. Just put it in your report. It's something that you have achieved. So I just wanted to put that in there. You know, let's get used to, you know, staying in front and sitting in front and stop selling ourselves short. Amen. Pastor is somewhere tonight at an AGM, so that's why he's not here. Second Chronicles chapter 20 from verses 1 to 27. As the word is going on, please pray for me. I'm very, very weak, but the Lord is my strength. Amen. Amen. So 2 Chronicles chapter 20. If I can have a bottle of water, a small one, that would be very, very nice. Thank you. So this is one of my, for the people who know me, I don't want to say close to me, because everybody's meant to be close to me, you know. I'm like my heavenly father. Just come around me. I don't have favorites. I'm like God. Second Chronicles 20, but this is one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. And every time I read this story, is it my phone? Something is jamming something somewhere. It really encourages me because I saw how God delivered his people through a very, very unusual method. I saw how God, even though there were fighters, there were swords, there were all this stuff there, God didn't use any of this. And that is just to show us the kind of father that we have. So it's the story of Jehoshaphat when he was king. And can I just throw in something as well that I learned about Jehoshaphat like a week or two ago? His father, forgotten his father's name now, was it Manasseh? Who was Jehoshaphat's father? Forgive me. But his father was a very horrible king who liked, worshipped idols and did all these things. You know, the Bible will say when you go through 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, and this king did not do after the lineage of his father David. You always see that. So he was one of those kings that didn't do it, that wasn't nice, didn't worship God, went after Baal and all these other idols. And then there comes Jehoshaphat, his son. And Jehoshaphat was actually a worshiper of Jehovah. He was a king that feared God, that worshipped God with every single thing that he had. And that's a great lesson to me. That taught me that people should stop giving excuses. Oh, you don't know the kind of father that I had. Because I was thinking, so how did he become what he became? Because he didn't have an example in a father. You know, he didn't have a mentor in a father. His mentor, who was meant to lead him in God's way, was not even serving Jehovah. He was worshiping idols. So it got me thinking that probably his mother, thank you, Sarah, probably his mom or someone very close to him must have had a godly influence on him. So my point is, it doesn't matter how you grew up. Whether you grew up without a father or without a mother, you can still be everything God has created you to be. It is up to you. Stop looking at, oh, my father is not here. You have an heavenly father. Those of us that even have parents, we still look up to God. So all of us are looking up to God. So it is very, very important that you realize that you can be everything God has created you to be, even though your parents are not in your life. I just wanted to throw that in, because that really touched me. You know, when you are reading the Bible, just stop and pause for a minute and just think about the story. Think about the individual that you are reading about. So I'm not going to read the whole chapter. It's a long chapter. 2 Chronicles 20 from verses 1 to 27. When you get home, you can read it. But the main theme that runs throughout the story is from verse 1. When the three nations came against Jehoshaphat to battle, and the children of Moab, the children of Ammon, and the Ammonites, they came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Verse 2, he was told there was a great multitude coming from behind the sea on this side of Syria. They are there. And verse 3, as we will all do. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. Verse 4, Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. So Jehoshaphat, being the godly king that he was, in verse 5, gathers everybody together and goes into the house of the Lord and begins to talk to God. That means Jehoshaphat had a relationship with Jehovah. And then verse 14, Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. So the Spirit of the Lord came upon Asaph, this guy, Jahaziel, and he began to say in 15, Hearken ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. 16, Tomorrow go ye down against them, behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook, before the wilderness of Jeruel. You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. So 18, Jehoshaphat bowed his head with everybody, all of Judah and Jerusalem worship the Lord. 19, the most unconventional thing that you could do when you have three mighty nations coming against you is to gather the choir. You know, because if you had a family member amongst these people and your son, you know, your daughter, your auntie calls you and says, these three nations are coming against us. So, and can you imagine what our king has told us to do? He's told us to go and get, you know, the instruments, the trumpets, and everything else, and sing. You know, your family member will probably tell you, if you can get there, out of there quickly, please run for your life, because that your king is not serious. It's not something that you do. You know, because when I read the Bible, I try to imagine it, you see. So you have all these nations, and you can see them stomping with their chariots of war, you know, all the horses, all the mighty horses, and they are dragging, and you can see their shields and their bows. And God tells you, go and get your guitar. And you're like, really? God? Guitar? Now? To do what? To hit the king on the head as if the guitar is going to do anything to him. But God told them that's what he wanted them to do. So thank God that Jehoshaphat had a relationship with God. So in verse 18, and then I think 20. And they rose early in the morning and went into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, 21, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and I should praise the beauty of holiness. And they went out before the army. So this is quite interesting. The choir went before the soldiers. You know, so I'm like, I'm thinking, these people in the choir must have been thinking, God, why does Jehoshaphat want to sacrifice us as sacrificial lambs? You would have thought that the army will go in front. At least they can fight. So if there are any arrows coming, you know, they will shield the choir. But Jehoshaphat put the choir in front and then the army behind the choir. And, well, that was all he did. Verse 23 and 22. The first line, the first few words, and when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. And how did God do it? Verse 23. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir. So there were three of them. So two stood against one. When they got rid of one, they now faced each other, utterly to split and destroyed them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. So the army didn't do anything. Jehoshaphat's army, I don't know how many they were, I don't know how mighty they were, they didn't do anything. And this is a great lesson, because if you listen to the word gave us for October, a womb for God, one of the major things that a man of God stressed on that we have to do is thanking God, thanksgiving. And I've practiced it a lot of times in my life. You know, you get to like this time of the year, it's October now, it's getting darker, and the situation with some of us is not getting better. It's as if things are actually getting worse. And you're like, you've prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed, and nothing has happened. So I've come to tell you tonight, when prayer doesn't work, try praise. You know, what happens is, when we've prayed for a long time, because our hearts are in despair, you are in distress, you start murmuring, okay? And there is no way a thankful heart and a murmuring heart will dwell in the same temple. It's not going to happen. So when you've believed God for something for a long time, you've prayed. And may I say that, continue to pray, okay? But sometimes, you know, we get weary. And there's this thing that, oh, if you prayed once and you pray against a lack of faith, it's a lie. There's nothing like that. Jesus prayed 3 times in the Garden of Gethsemane. Are you more spiritual than Jesus? What are you telling me? So you can pray you can continue to pray until you see your prayers answered. But when you are tired of praying, why don't you try praising? Praising God. And before you can praise God, you don't have to be a good singer. And praising God, thanksgiving, is not singing fast songs or singing slow songs. It's not about having a fantastic voice. It's about an environment that you create, a lifestyle that you adopt as a child of God. So thanking God should be as natural to us as his children, as God's children, as the air we breathe. And this is what happened in this story in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. When the children of Judah and Jerusalem, well, there was no way anyway they could have fought against these people, because these were 3 mighty nations and they were smaller. And God gave this strategy to Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat could have ignored it, you know. He could have said, what do you mean? How do you use choir to win a battle? It's never been done before. At least, I don't think it's been done before this time. And but Jehoshaphat had a relationship with God to know that if God says something, then he means it. He must have read about the stories of David. When David was in battle, there was a time David was running away from Absalom. And there was this, what's the name of this David? Ahithophel. So Ahithophel left David's camp and went to join Absalom, his son, against the father. So, and David always relied on Ahithophel's counsel. So, when Absalom wanted to, for whatever reason best known to him, destroy his own father, but that was David's fault because the prophecy had already been given by God when David went into Uriah's wife. That's another story for another day. But anyway, Ahithophel told Absalom, he said, your father is a man of war. He's very skillful. And if you are going to come against David, you just don't come against David anyhow. You come against David from this angle. So Ahithophel described to Absalom how to get his own father down. So when they went back to tell David, David only prayed a prayer. He said, Lord, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. So the day they were meant to meet each other came. And then for whatever reason, because, you know, David had this relationship with God. Forget, you know, the Uriah stuff. Because that's the difference between David. I don't know why I'm going to David. I'm not meant to be going to David. Holy Spirit, help me. So he was close to God. And David knew how to get God. So what I'm trying to say to you tonight is that, you know, you have to start knowing how to get God. You see? And you will, if you remember, David is the one that wrote most of the book of the Psalms. Apart from the sons of Asaph and yeah. So what does that say about David? He's a man of praise. He says, 7 times will I wake up and praise you. You know, 7 times. So while Absalom was listening to the counsel of Ahithophel, the Bible says God made the army to hear a sound. So, you know, the army of Absalom, they just, this bulrushes. You know, it was just the wind blowing on these leaves, but for whatever reason, they were hearing something else. And that was how they were defeated, without David fighting. So that's what God does for you when you are someone who has dedicated his or her life to praising and thanking God. But the devil does not want us to thank God. So when the request is being delayed, you start to murmur. And you begin to look at the things that God has not done. And you forget completely about what God has done. My husband and myself were in the car driving home last night after work. And for whatever reason, we started recounting some stories. And I was like, I'm almost forgetting this story, you know. I can't remember the last time I actually thanked God for what happened that day. Because if what happened that day did not happen, I don't think we'll both be here tonight. And we just forget, don't we? We forget because the enemy wants you to focus on the unanswered prayers. He wants us to focus on the things that God has not done. But where you are today is a testimony of God's great goodness, a testimony of his power, a testimony of his might, a testimony of his goodness, of God's great and great and great deliverance. But because you're not praying for something else and that thing has not happened, now we forget that where you are today, okay? If that prayer that you prayed 5 years ago was not answered, you will not even be angry today because there will be nothing to be angry about because you will not be in the situation you are in today. Example, let me give an example. So you're believing God for something, maybe for a job. But remember the time when you were in your country and you are just saying, Jehovah, just let me travel. Just let me give me this visa. I will serve you. I will do anything for you. I will praise you for the rest of my days. Fine. God answers your heart's desire. You are now in the United Kingdom. And then you get to the United Kingdom. You are now angry because you don't have the job you want to have, which is probably your own fault anyway. Because when you were going for interview, you were still talking as if you were in your country. You know, not the accent, your attitude, your mindset. You know, because I can't stand people who come to the United Kingdom after 2 weeks, their pronunciation change. And I'm like, why? How? How is that possible? You know, stop faking it, please. Just speak as you normally speak. Anyway, so, no, your mindset. So you are thinking, God, I'm not happy. But you've forgotten that if you are still in Nigeria or in Somalia or in Iraq or in Iran or wherever you are from, you will not even be getting angry at this moment with you. You will still be praying and fasting. Some of our children, they might not understand what this is. You know, you might still be praying and fasting for these things to happen. What I'm trying to say is that where you are right now on the 3rd of October 2019 was not by your power. It was not by your might. It was not because you knew how to pray. It was not because you knew how to pray. It was because God was merciful. So the God that was merciful to you 10, 15, 5, 6 years ago, He has not changed. And the higher you go in God, the more testings you get. So grow up and grow out of it. And know that you are a child of God. You must be eating meat now. You cannot still be taking bread and butter and we are patting you on the head. Hey, sorry, sorry, it is well. Of course it is well. Tell yourself it is well. If nobody tells you that it is well, tell yourself that it is well, because heaven is personal. Our relationship with God is personal. So it's not about, oh, you know, we, no. It's about I, you, and I. So Jehoshaphat gathered the children of Israel together and they began to praise God. And God made the enemies to start fighting each other. I've never seen something like that before. But like, probably saying you are silly. Me, silly. How can you call me silly? And these people came together, didn't they? No, because when I read the Bible, right, I try to dramatize, I try to imagine what was happening. So the three companies coming together from the same place. Bible says they came together from around Syria into Judah. So they came together. So it was not as if they were fighting before they came. They were friends before they came. They were past before they came. They were in communion and fellowship. Whatever joined them together, joined them together. Whatever spoke to them and told them to come and attack Judah that day. Maybe they had been going around attacking other nations, and one day they just decided to touch the apple of God's eyes. And God said, I will teach these people a lesson. So they just gathered themselves together. So they were doing party. They were pals. They were mates. They were homies. Whatever you people call it now. And they were just coming. You know, because when we read the Bible, please, can we start thinking when we read the Bible? They were not fighting before they came. And as the children of Israel began to praise, the Bible said they began to fight each other. How? Why? Maybe somebody said something like, ah, what do you mean? How can you talk to me like that? Look at your head, bam, and slaps them. Like, you slapped me, you slapped me. And the Bible says they, Ammon and Seir faced the Ammonites. When they finished destroying those ones, they now faced each other. So Israel was just, it was a very hilarious situation. Israel was just singing and praising. What an amazing thing to happen, an amazing testimony of God's faithfulness and goodness when we praise Him. So I want, one of the things I got when I was listening to the message for October was, I have this Bible plan, Nikki Gumbel. And I was listening to it today, and it said something like, let your distress drive you closer to God. Don't let your distress drive you away from God. That's what we do. When we're in distress, we stop coming to church. We're like, I've been praying for all this time, and nothing has happened. That's what the devil wants. Immediately you do that, Satan has got you. He's very happy, because that's where he's always wanted you anyway. That's where he's always wanted you. So immediately you are stressed out because your prayers has not been answered. Satan is happy and it's like, finally, I've got him. Finally, I've got her where I wanted. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, not with murmuring. You know, there's some types of relationship. You know, when Jehoshaphat was talking, it was not actually murmuring. It was reporting these people. It was like, God, are you not going to do something? See them, see what they are doing. That's basically what Jehoshaphat was doing. And then, as he did this, he must have had an expectation in his heart that God was going to do something great. But Jehoshaphat himself didn't know what God was going to do until Jahaziel spoke. And immediately Jahaziel spoke, Jehoshaphat obeyed. How many of us are here tonight that the last instruction God gave you, you've not obeyed? And because you've not obeyed, and as I'm standing here, that applies to me. Because you've not obeyed that last instruction, you cannot move into the next level. The instruction might be silly, like what God told the children of Judah and Jerusalem to do. It might not make sense in this day and age to do what they do. I'm sure some of them must have been embarrassed, but they did it anyway. So as you are waiting, whatever you are waiting for, whatever you are believing God for, can you start having a heart of thanksgiving? You know, start thanking God for what he has done. Forget the word. It's hard. What I'm saying is very hard. Because our human minds will be like, how is that possible? You know, to forget the things that God has not done and to think, thank him for the ones that he has done. You know, where you are now, it could have been worse. There are some people now that are praying to be where you are. They're looking at you and like, God, if you can just make my life like for this person. And you are here seriously complaining and moaning about things that has not happened. It's difficult, you know, when you've prayed. I've been there. When you've prayed for things for a long time and there's no answer, you see like a little tunnel, you think, this is it, and like, the door just closes. You are like, really? For how long, Lord? But then God is training us. In these times of waiting, God is training us. God is strengthening our spiritual muscles. God is maturing us, every one of us, into what he wants us to be. Those of us that were here on Sunday when Reverend Yemi Adedeji was ministering, he talked about the eagle. 150 days. The eagle stays inside this cave. just to renew its strength. 150 days. In the midst of being cold, it has to be other people that are bringing food. Some of us, other people even offer us food. You abuse the person that has offered you food. Some of us are too proud to even accept help. Whatever you are going through now is just a phase. It's not going to last forever. So if there is help being made available to you, appreciate the help. Be thankful that you even have people who care about you, who even ask you. Some people will not come to church again because they have a problem, because they'll think that everybody is talking about me. Who are you? Who are you that everybody, are you Jesus that everybody should be talking about? As if everybody that is here does not have enough problems on their own. It is pride that makes us to leave the presence of God. And that's what Satan did. That's what Satan did. It was pride that drove Lucifer, son of the morning, the most beautiful of all the angels. I wanted to be like God. Some of us don't know. You might be quiet, but you are quietly proud. You know, that you cannot even accept help from your church. You cannot even, I'm not saying, oh, go to everybody and tell them your problems. No. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that where else? Okay, tell me, you are here now tonight. Some people are here. December will come, we'll be fasting. So if you don't come to church, please tell me, where do you want to go? Voodoo house or whatever house? Or you want to go to start going to the pub now? Or you want to look for another God now? After all this, yes, there is no other God that saves anywhere except Jehovah. So you better stick with him and learn his ways and grow up and let us seek his face together. Whatever is dragging you down, let us come together and pray about it. You know, instead of just, it's the devil. It's the spirit of the end times. You preach in talk. People say they are not coming to church again. Fine, don't come. God will bring other people. You know, it's the spirit of the end time. Because if you come to church, see, we're even lucky, we're blessed. In the New Testament, Paul will point to them, say to the Corinthians, I have heard among you, and it is not a good thing that a man is sleeping with his father's wife. And they still came to church. You know, if you said that in some churches today, wow, people will not come to church again. Like, who does it? There was that pastor. If you don't talk about each other, please, who are we going to talk about? You know, if you don't preach about each other, please, who are we going to? Let's grow above all this. Oh, they're talking about me. Nobody's talking about you. You better come. You better come and meet your father and seek his face and praise him in the midst of whatever distress you are in. You hold on to him and you say, like Jacob said to Jehovah, I am not letting you go until you bless me. I am not letting you go. And God is watching you. God is not a wicked father. No. He's a very, very good father. For whatever reason, I am not God. So I've got my own problems, my own challenges that I'm believing God to make a way. I've seen God work wonders in my life, in my home, in my children's lives. I have seen it in my family. I've seen people that you never thought could become born again, becoming born again because some people persisted. Do you know the reason why you are here tonight is because somebody prayed for you. It's because somebody did not give up on you. So why are you giving up on God? Why are we giving up on God? You know, whatever it is that you are going through, you are now a child of God. I don't know about out there. But for us believers, we don't have anywhere else to go. So we better hold on to our Father dearly. So in your time of waiting, your time of distress, praise God. Praise your way out of trouble. Psalm 46 verse 1. Psalm 46 verse 1 says, God is a very present help in the time of trouble. Praise your way out of trouble because you're God. No, God, the Bible says God is a very present help in times of trouble. So God's help is there when you are in trouble. So as you praise God within these times of trouble, it will take you out of the trouble. So if you continue to murmur, the trouble will be getting bigger. Reverend Song says something like, it is what you give attention to that gets bigger. So what are you giving attention to in your life? Are you giving attention to the problem or are you giving attention to Jehovah? Let your attention change from tonight towards Jehovah. As I encourage myself as well, let us start seeking God more. you know, praise God in your closet when nobody is there. Even when, you know, sometimes you are so down, you can't open your mouth physically. Put on your CD. Put on YouTube. Let the atmosphere in your environment, let it change. When my children were little, I still do it. We play the Bible in their rooms. Because when they are asleep, their spirit is not sleeping. Their spirit is alive. So whatever the word of God is saying is getting into their spirit. People look at their children and say, oh, they are this, they are that. It was nothing. But not because we are pastors. It's because there are some things you practice and they work. Play instruments, instrumental music. Play it in your room. Play it in your children's room. When I'm on the bus and people are discussing on their business in the world, I just put my earphones in and I just listen to music. It changes your heart. It just changes whatever mood you are in at that moment. Learn the names of God. Just spend 5 minutes every day. Just saying, Jehovah, I just thank you. King of kings and Lord of lords. My Father, my God. No, I just thank you. Thank you, Lord, for waking me up this morning. Thank you, Lord, that I even have a job to go to. Thank you, Lord, that I can even walk to the bus stop. Thank you, Lord, that I can even sit inside a car. Thank you, Lord, because I can even drive a car. Thank you, Lord, that I can put the knife in my hands and feed myself. Thank you, Lord, because I can see, I can feel, I can touch, I can sit, I can stand. Thank you, Lord, because I can dress myself. There are some people that can't do that anymore. They are more beautiful than us. They are richer. They need somebody to dress them. You can go to the shower. You can decide today. It's KFC I want to go to. Tomorrow you can decide I want to make my local food. You can eat whatever you want at any particular time, point in time, which is not good for you anyway because it's not healthy. Don't eat late. What I'm just trying to say is that what a great and massive privilege to be alive. So it's this thing that God has not done now. God will do it. He will do it, but we have to learn how it works, how our God works. He is a great, great Father. So Psalm, because of time, Psalm 103 verses 1 to 22, Psalm 30 verse 5, Job 14:40 says, Will a man live if he dies, whatever? All the days of my appointed time will I wait until my change comes. Psalm 105 from verses 1 to 5 is there. So create a lifestyle of thanksgiving in your spirit from tonight. You know, every time, no matter what you're going through, because it's in the midst. The Bible talks about God, okay, as I round up, God inhabiting the praises of his people. Please, who can tell me, what does inhabit mean? Live. Okay, dwell. Thank you. So the Bible says God inhabits the praise of his people. So we're going through this problem. We're going through this challenge, right? And then we start praising God. You start praising God. I start praising God. And then the Bible says God inhabits. So God lives where he is. And comes and stands in the midst of that trouble. Okay. So secondly, so when God comes to stand in the midst of that trouble, the Bible says that mountains, they melt like wax at the presence of the Lord. So tell me, what is the trouble that will stand when Jehovah is standing? There is no trouble that can stand when Jehovah is standing. When God approaches a situation, every other thing has to give way. Because he's the one that made them. Have you not heard him that says he made trouble as well? He said, I made all these things. I made them for days of trouble. I made them. God made everything. So when Jehovah steps out of his throne and you are praising him and he comes and inhabits, so he comes to dwell in your house, do you wonder why Obed-Edom was blessed? And David became envious because the ark of the Lord went to the house of Obed-Edom for 3 months. And that man was blessed. And David was like, please, we have to get that thing out of that place. How come? Why? Why is it the only one? That is because praise entered the house of Obed-Edom. So Jehovah just went and sat down in Obed-Edom's house. And David was like, no, it can't be only you.
God sat down. So as Obidiah was going out in the morning, God was just blessing him. As Mrs. Obidiah was going out, God was blessing her. As the children, Obidiah 1, Obidiah 2, Obidiah 3 were going out, God was just laying his hands on them and blessing them. And the neighbors were like, what's happening? Why? How? And they were like, the ark of the Lord is in Obidiah's house because God sat down. Because the presence of the Lord is in the ark. So God just sat there. He was inhabiting it. It was like, give me more, Obidiah. Just give me more. Just give me more. As Obidiah was giving God more praise, God was blessing him. And it took David 3 months to realize what was going on. And he went, let us take the ark and go and put it in the house of the Lord. Okay, where everybody can now come. But Obidiah is forever blessed. So that is God inhabiting the praises of his people. On the other hand, when you are now murmuring, who will come and sit down with you? Satan. Be like, go on. Yes, what has God done for you? You've been in church all this time. Nothing has even happened. Your business is not moving. You know, get to your business in the morning. Just play music. It doesn't have to be loud. Let it be silent. Just surround the atmosphere with the presence of God. Let God just sit on your business. Can you imagine God sitting on your business for 3 months? That's all you need. In fact, 3 months is too much. Even 2 weeks, 2 hours. God just sat there. You are praising him. He's just sitting there. All these customers that has not paid you is just jamming their frequencies, not allowing them to sleep. You know, we pray some prayer. We are like, oh, God, don't let them sleep. No, don't do that. Just praise God. When you start praising God, God will start remembering. Say, that my daughter in Liverpool, that my son, that you bought something from 6 months ago. Like when God appeared to Abimelech and said, you are a dead man. You are dead. And Abimelech was like, what have I done? Said, my servant's wife is in your house. What's she doing in your house? You know, even though Abraham was in the wrong, that's what God does. So he inhabits the praises of his people. You know, sometimes when I'm at home, I just take days off. I just lie down on my bed for like an hour. And I'm just praising God. And it's hard. But it's something you have to cultivate doing. Praise the Lord. Shall we rise up on our feet? Let's just begin to thank God. You know, I want you to thank God for your life. I will remind you. Thank God. I ask all of us to stand up now. You could stand up. It's not as if somebody was holding you to stand. You stood up by yourself. That's a great privilege. So if that's the only thing you can thank God for, so we're going to spend the next few minutes praising God. We're going to spend the next minutes praising God. I want to thank God for the salvation of your soul. Thank God that you are still here. Thank God for Jesus. If not for Jesus, where will I be? If not for Jesus, where will you be? He is our strength. He's the one we can hold on to. Holy Spirit, we just ask you tonight, Lord, that you come, that you expand these words in our hearts, that you fill us, oh God, with hearts of thanksgiving for where we are right now. Because we know that when we praise you, you inhabit our praises. We know, Lord, when we praise you, you come and dwell in our midst. Lord, we know that when we praise you, Lord, you come down. And so, Lord God Almighty, irrespective of whatever we're going through, no matter what I face, I will praise you, Lord. When troubles come my way, I will praise you, Lord. Praises you, Lord. Lord, I praise you. Lord, I praise you. Lord, I thank you. Thank you, Father, for your goodness and your mercy. Thank you, Father, for your faithfulness. Thank you, Father, for your loving kindness that is better than life. Thank you, Lord, for being with me. Thank you for upholding me. Thank you for sustaining me. Thank you for good health. Thank you for my husband. Thank you for my children. Thank you for my job. Thank you for good health. Thank you, Lord, because I can dress myself. Thank you, Lord, because I have food to eat. Father, Lord, I thank you. Rekebo shataya karaba shataya. I want you to ask God for strength right now. In the midst of your distress, I want you to ask for strength. Ask God to strengthen you. In Jesus' name we have prayed. In Jesus' name we have prayed. For those of us here, I don't know why that story came to me. It was Benny Hinn's wife that was sharing it years ago. She said her first daughter, no pastor's child now. This girl will not just do it. She died. One side was green. Another side of her hair was yellow. The rest was another color. She was just parting and doing everything.
And they had prayed and prayed. She said one night, she just decided whenever she was not at home, she would go inside her daughter's room, lay down on her daughter's bed, start playing godly music, lay on her bed on her pillow and start singing praises to God. So right before their eyes, this girl began to change. That's what praise does. Now, she and her husband are the ones leading the father's ministry today. So if you have a runaway child, don't worry. When they are not at home, just go and lie down on their bed. Be speaking to them. When they lay on that pillow, they will dream about Jesus. They will dream about heaven. They will dream about hell. And they will know that, you know, if it's only, you know, if they are not close to you, if they are far away, start mentioning their names and say, Lord, I thank you. I thank you for this, my child. I thank you for this, my son, for my daughter. Lord, I thank you because this boy, this child will serve you. I thank you, Lord, because this child will serve you. I thank you, Lord, because this child will serve you. Hallelujah. Can we receive strength? Strength, 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 strength. Let's receive strength from Jehovah tonight. Because some of us are going through really tough times. Let's receive strength from Jehovah tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you.
You are my strength.